Ready? The title of this morning's message is Discerning God's Will. Connie and I have a friend, now in her 90s, who used to work with us in Texas, and she would ask a question in jest. Where are we going, and what are we going to do when we get there? For some reason, God caused me to think about that question the other day. It pretty well sums up all of our lives. Have you ever asked that question of yourself? Have you ever asked that question of God? As I was thinking about what to share with the church family this morning, that question popped into my mind, and I could hear Joanne's voice asking it. Where are we going? And what are we going to do when we get there? The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Corinthian church, made what appears to be a simple statement about what has taken place in all of our lives if we have believed on Jesus Christ to be our Savior and Lord. If we combine Joanne's question with Paul's statement, we have an interesting set of circumstances to resolve in an effort to answer the question. This just might be the perfect time to pursue an answer. Before I share that verse from Paul's writing, and we need to think about where we are going. Here we are meeting via the internet, I hope for the last Sunday. It is my prayer that we come together as a church family next Sunday, May 3rd. In the meantime, I would like to give a little more thought about where we are going and what we're going to do when we get there. This time of separation has given me time to do some introspection. I've had time to examine my life in the light of God's Word, and I have to admit that there are some things that have not been pleasing to God. I believe that I have confessed each of them, but I still have some regrets, things that I can't go back and fix. How should we react to the sin in our life? That question brings me to the statement that John made in his first epistle, 1 John 1, 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If you're saved and breathing this morning, then you have a call upon your life from God. For God knew you before you were ever conceived by your parents. He had a plan laid out for your life. Pride was not a part of that plan. Instead, God called us to be humble servants before him and to walk in obedience to his word. Excuse me. We have not all been completely successful in that enterprise. And along the way, we have sinned. Look at verse 9 again of 1 John 1. There is not one single person who is listening to my voice that cannot be successful in living a holy life for the glory of God and Jesus Christ if they will do what John instructs us to do about our sin in verse 9. Let's look at the verse that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Next Sunday, we will begin to meet again for fellowship, spiritual support, and fulfilling of God's purpose for our church family. God's purpose for our church family is not confined to activities within the walls of our church building, but the whole world is open before us for ministry. Not only have I used this time of separation for introspection, but I have used it for the investigation of opportunities available for various members of our church family to become involved in ministries around the world. We've been called to serve our Lord with our time and resources. As we come out of this unique time in world history, some things are going to be different. As we have watched this plague spread across the world, our world has gotten smaller, and other nations have become closer. The Christians have been the ones to reach out to help people of all faiths to survive this coronavirus. I believe that in the short term, we're going to have more opportunities to minister in lands that were once completely closed to missions. Most of our missionaries had to come home because of the entire country's going on lockdown. As we survive this pandemic, it will be interesting to see if our current missionaries can get back into the places where they were serving. I do have one new opportunity for some of you in our church family to get more actively involved in missions. There's an opportunity for some of you to get involved in short-term missions in various locations around our neighborhood, which, as Jesus indicated, is anywhere in the world. If you would be interested in serving for a short time somewhere, if you will let one of our deacons or myself know, we will do the necessary background checks and let you know what's available for service. If there's enough interest, we will have a meeting to share with those wanting to become more active the information as to what is involved. The needs will not all be overseas, but there will be opportunities to participate in local disaster recovery reliefs and efforts also within the United States. If there's enough interest, I have a plan. Time for another question, this time directed at each of you. I too am included in the question, do you think that God would have us waste the most productive years of our lives in a rocking chair on the front porch or patio? I can already hear the responses in my mind. I'm too old. I have physical problems. I don't know anybody that needs help. I have a house to look after. Do any of these things matter if God's will is for you to get busy for His kingdom and for you to be the minister to those who are really in need? I guess the question that I'm asking is, can you do more for Jesus? One of the biggest arguments against going to where a person is needed is, I don't have any skills that God can use. Let me ask a few questions. Can you cook? Do you cook for yourself? Could you cook for a team of workers who might have specialty needed skills? Can you carry bricks or concrete blocks? Do you think you're too old? Let me tell you about an 83-year-old retired engineer. He had arthritis so bad that he couldn't straighten his fingers. His name was Curtis. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. But he came out to do what he could for the Lord when we were in a construction project in South Texas. He came to help with building a concrete block building several times the size of this church. When he got there, he didn't know if he could do anything to help. He thought that he was too old. Some of the other men told him that he could carry blocks to the men working as masons. Curtis started in, carrying one block hanging from gnarled fingers on each hand. His progress was slow at first, and he worked 4.5 days a week carrying blocks to the masons. Curtis was only scheduled to be with us for a month. But before the month was out, he came to me to see if he could stay for another month. And for another month, Curtis carried one block in each hand on the end of gnarled fingers. When he came to me again, he had a question. Can I learn to lay blocks at 83, he asked. Can I stay for another month? Curtis built one entire wall in the kitchen between the walk-in freezer and the pantry, all by himself. We named it the Curtis Joiner Wall in honor of the effort he made. Just imagine, wouldn't it be great if you could go to an area where a tornado or a hurricane had destroyed a church or Christian school and help the people build? What a way to show the love of Jesus for the brothers and sisters in Christ. For some time, there is a need for someone without skills to be on a team to help sanitize an operating room, set up in a tent before the next surgery. Could you do that? There's not a person that can't do something for the Lord. If you can't go, you can help send someone who wants to go but doesn't have the finances. God can use each and every one of you to reach out to others at home and in some foreign land. During this time away from each other, I had some time to reach out to several different people involved in ministry to see if they had all the workers that they needed. Do you remember what Jesus said about laborers in John 4, 34 through 38? Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." There was another time when Jesus spoke of the shortage of laborers in Matthew 9, 37 and 38, when he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Would you consider being or becoming one of Jesus' laborers? Luke also records a statement in Luke 10, 2. "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Now we all have something that we can be doing about our missionary outreach. We can be praying. Of course, you also need to be listening while you are praying if you really want to discern God's will for your life. It is all about what Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 1:9. "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Just in case I didn't mention it, we were all called into the fellowship, or you couldn't stay in the ministry of Jesus Christ. As we gather together again as a local church representing the bride of Christ, I'm praying that we will have used this time apart to contemplate what more we can do to be better ambassadors for Jesus. How can we reach out to other brothers and sisters around the world in love and demonstrate that we are not only seeking the will of God, but that we are fulfilling his will for us as individuals? One thing that I did see, and I hope that you saw it too, was that our freedoms can be taken away from us in just a matter of days. We need to get busier while we still have the freedoms to do so. Jesus, knowing the evil days would come even for us, admonished us to do something. John 12, 35 through 36. "Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While we have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spoke Jesus and departed, and he did hide himself from them. We don't want Jesus to be hid from the people of the world. When we gather as a church family, we need to become more active in proclaiming the gospel and reaching out to our brothers and sisters around the world to help those who can't help themselves. Many of you know Michael Privet and his wife, Sherry. Michael's been going to India to teach Indian pastors how to minister to more people and to teach them a better understanding of God's word. Because they don't have schools that they can go to for that information, these seminars that he puts on are very, very profitable for them. Many of the people in those churches are starving to death right now because of the coronavirus and the country being locked down. Those are brothers and sisters in Christ starving to death. Can we help? Can you as an individual help? I hope some of you will feel God's leading to reach out. If you feel that God has something that he wants you to do, call me. One of the things that we might do in the future is to provide for a benevolent fund to respond to conditions such as this. But right now, there is a very great need, and Michael Privet has reached out for help. He called me the other day to see if we could help by sending some funds that the Indian pastors could use to buy rice for those people in his church. In this case, I don't think there is any question as to what God's will might be. For the last several years, we've been working to survive as a ministry. God has blessed, and we are at a place to reach out to others and minister to their needs. God blesses sacrifice, and it's through sacrifice that we have the chance to watch God work in our church's family life. The more active we become, the more sacrifices we make, the more that God will increase our faith and bless our ministry. Discerning God's will is not difficult. All we have to do is move through the open door to experience the next step that God wants us to take. That action does require courage and faith. That has to come from God. Pray that God will provide what we need in the way of courage and a vision to cause us to reach out and minister to the church family universal. Father, there are needs all over the world. There are needs here. But you know how important it is that we reach out to brothers and sisters when we have the ability to do so. Help us, Father, to feed some of those poor folks in India who are starving to death because they have no work and they have no money and they have no food. Help us, Father, by laying on our hearts an effort to give. And Father, we pray that you will use the gifts that come in for your glory and to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in India. Thank you for the ministry that you have called us all to here at Coastal Shores Baptist Church. Help us to see the open doors. Help us to have the courage to go through those open doors. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.